The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
We want to welcome our podcast audience. We want to welcome our YouTube audience as well. Today, I'm going to be dealing with an unbelievable topic. This was an actual story that came out last week that we reported on End Time Headlines, and that is the subject of a Nashville pastor is saying that the Bible is not the word of God. A Nashville pastor, believe it or not, a Nashville pastor came out last week and made this ridiculous statement. That's what we're going to talk about today on this broadcast. Before we do that again, please, if you have not yet subscribed to End Time Headlines, you can do that at endtimeheadlines.org. endtimeheadlines.com. We always want to encourage you to do that to keep up with our ministry. So let's get after this thing. A progressive Nashville church has come under fire recently and set the internet afire after coming out on social media declaring that the Bible is not the word of God. It is not inerrant or infallible. And guys, this is not coming from an atheist. This was not a statement from an agnostic, but this was an actual statement from a pastor of a progressive church in Nashville. 2 weeks ago, Grace Point Church in Nashville, Tennessee, led by Pastor Josh Scott, shared a recap of a message that he declared on Facebook discussing the Bible and the question, what is progressive Christianity? All right, so he went on to say, quote, as progressive Christians, quote, we are open to the tensions and inconsistencies in the Bible. These words are very offensive to any Christian who believes otherwise. Quote, we know that the Bible cannot live up to impossible modern standards. I want to read that again. According to this pastor who considers himself to be a, quote, progressive Christian. And I'll tell you what that is in modern vernacular in just a second. As, quote, progressive Christians, we are open to the tensions and inconsistencies in the Bible. Quote, I guess he's talking about all progressive Christians here who believe this garbage. Quote, we know that the Bible cannot live up to impossible, and it cannot live up to modern standards. In other words, the Bible can't keep up with culture. It cannot be tried and true and stable and immovable, but it has to bend with and it has to sway with culture. This is what he's saying here. Quote, we strive to be more clearly articulate what scripture is and is not. Quote, the church noted before stating what the Bible is and isn't. All right. So he goes on to say, quote, now listen to this. This is an exact quote from this pastor. Quote, the Bible is not the word of God. It is self-interpreting a science book, an answer rule book, or I'm sorry, let me back up. The Bible is not the word of God. It is not self-interpreting. It is not a science book. It is not an answer or a rule book, inerrant or infallible. Rather, according to this pastor, it is a, quote, product of community, a library of texts, multivocal, a human response to God, living and dynamic. So what does the word of God say about the word of God? Have you ever wondered that? What does the Bible say about the word of God? Well, let's give you scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is, this is not left to interpretation. This is not left to opinion. The word of God is living. It is powerful. I said it's living and powerful. It's not something that was and that once was, and it was once alive, and now it's dead. No, the Word of God is present tense, living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, If you want to know why people are offended by the Bible, why they're trying to cancel it, why they're trying to remove it, why they're trying to silence it, and why they're trying to dilute it and water it down, it's probably because it's so powerful and so living and so unchangeable that when an individual reads it or hears it, it brings conviction. It pierces the very soul and spirit, joint and marrow of an individual, in which it exposes that of them that does not line up with the Word of God. Therefore, they are offended. Come on. Have you ever noticed that no one is offended at the preaching of the Word of God unless it offends the very thing that they hold to or that they're practicing. I know some of y'all may get lost here, so I'm going to break it down to make it a little bit more practical, if you don't mind. No one in the congregation, or no one behind this camera, or no one behind this microphone is going to get offended at me preaching on adultery unless you're living in adultery. Oh, come on, somebody. No one's going to get offended at me preaching on stealing unless you're a thief, unless you're preaching. No one's going to get offended at the preaching of fornication unless you're living in fornication. This is why, no wonder we got preachers and churches and progressive churches that are removing any preaching on sin. No wonder we got churches that are watering down and hand-picking translations of the Bible that has watered down the Word of God to the point where it's no longer offensive. It no longer convicts. It no longer challenges. It no longer exposes our lives in light of the gospel. So now we have removed the ecclesia as we know it in the Word of God, and we've created a glorified country club where everybody can come the way you are, and you'll never leave different. You'll just come as you are and leave as you are. Let me give you 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I'm going to read some more stuff from this progressive church and this pastor out of Nashville, but I want to read what the Word of God says. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Here's what Paul said about it. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I said, all scripture. And guys, listen, if you're watching by Facebook Live, it's going to freeze up. We've got not good internet here. So this is why I always tell you to go back and listen to this on podcast or on YouTube, because it's going to continue to go on and it won't cut out. So again, if it's freezing up or cutting out live on Facebook, go back and watch the replay of this on our YouTube channel or our podcast. Okay. Let me read this again. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture, I said all, not just the New Testament, not just the Old Testament. All scripture, all 66 books, Old and New Testament, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Who's it inspired by? God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let me read that again. The Word of God, which is all scripture, not just what you pick and choose, not just what you want to be relevant, not just what makes you happy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, watch this, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man or woman of God may be complete, may be whole, may be mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know why we got so many immature, lily-livered, spineless, Christians and the body of Christ today is because what they're eating, what they're consuming, what they're hearing, and the Bible translation that they're probably reading has been watered down and diluted to the point where it no longer is doctrinally sound, is no longer bringing reproof, it's no longer correcting them, and it's no longer instructing them in righteousness. That's what's happening today. Let me read on a little bit more from this. I want to read more from what this pastor's saying here. Listen, quote, this, again, as progress, let me, hold on. I got to read. Let's see. As of Wednesday, this is a post. This is a little bit more from the Christian Post, the original report was from the Christian Post. As of Wednesday evening, the Post had attracted more than 1,200 emoji reactions, along with 1,800 comments. You think? Of the 1,200 emojis, more than half were angry faces and over 300 were laughing emojis, while more than 100 were sad faces. When asked about the reactions to his sermon and if he felt it was a good conversation to start online, Pastor Scott, who grew up Southern Baptist, so if you guys are listening to this, this is a Baptist boy. I don't know. That may not, maybe that'll offend you. Maybe it don't. Who knows anymore? I mean, I know I've been in this thing for 21 years and I came out of a particular denomination. Now I'm non-denominational pretty much for the most part, but because I don't get all giddy about denominations. I'm not here to bash denominations. I'm just saying that there's truths from all of them, and then some of them are half-truths. But nevertheless, this guy who grew up Southern Baptist told the Christian Post in an interview that he believes it is a necessary one to have. Quote, this is what he said. My intent really was, this is a conversation that we're having in our community. So yeah, quote, I do think it's a good conversation. And I think it's a conversation that needs to happen within that sort of the broader Christian culture. He went on to say that, quote, I think we definitely have a tendency to treat the Bible almost as an idol. This pastor said, I think we treat the Bible as an idol. And in doing so, we fail, I think, to see the real call, which is never for us just to read something, but always for us to read it, wrestle with it, and then embody the rest of it the way we live our lives in the world. In other words, we should take the Bible and conform it to the world and conform it to culture and conform it to our lives. That's funny because my Bible says the exact opposite. It says, be ye not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. Come on, through the washing of the word of God. I'm going to say it again for the people in the back row that may not be able to hear me the first time around. This guy says that the Bible should not be held to an esteem of to be idolatry, but we should take the Bible, wrestle with it, whatever that means, and then embody the rest of it the way we live our lives in the world. But the Bible says the opposite, that we are not to be conformed unto the world, but be transformed in the renewing of our minds through the gospel, through the word of God. Whew. This is unbelievable, guys. Quote, listen, I'm going to read some more. Quote, if there are any sort of conversations that are off limits in the Christian tradition, then it probably just means we're afraid of them. We're probably afraid to engage them because we are afraid of being labeled heretics. Well, listen, friend, if you don't believe that the Bible is infallible and that it's absolute and everlasting and does not conform to the world, then you are a heretic. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible. Let me give you some more Bible in case you're listening today. Matthew 24, 35, heaven, this is what Jesus said. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Let me give you some more here. First, let me give you 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, because this is where I really believe is where we're at. Before I do that, I got to read the rest of this because I saved that for last. Let me read the rest of this. I'm getting ahead of myself. Quote, this is from this pastor. We're afraid of people saying hateful things. In reality, these are important conversations. So yeah, I feel like it's something that needs to be talked about. In explaining his statement that the Bible cannot live up to modern standards, this just makes, I'm going to steal a quote from Glenn Beck. I know some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, but that's all right. But I'm going to steal a quote from Glenn Beck. Get your duct tape out and duct tape your head real tight, because this statement will almost make your head explode. And that is, let me read this statement again. The Bible cannot live up to modern standards. What? He goes on to say, the problem isn't the fault of the Bible. Quote, that's our fault. I'm not saying the Bible has some sort of flaw in it, he said. Quote, I think one of the greatest challenges that happens with the Bible is we bring expectations to it that it just isn't intended to bear and cannot bear. Yeah, because heaven forbid we actually believe what the Bible says. I mean, you know, where Jesus is asking, it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. I mean, you people don't actually believe that, do you? You people don't actually believe that Jesus said he would die and be buried and raised again on the third day. You people actually believe that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. You actually believe, go into all the world and preach the gospel and to every living creature, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I mean, who actually believes the Bible, especially Christians? I mean, come on. You can't actually believe the Bible, do you? Quote, I think the Bible is trying to say to us, hold on, let me back up. Because if we go to the Bible and we're looking for really up-to-date information on how the cosmos works, we're not going to find it, because I don't think the Bible is a book trying to tell us how things change. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Last time I checked, that didn't change. I don't even have time. Listen, I don't have time to spend an hour on debunking evolution and microevolution and macroevolution. Listen, the world changes. It evolves. But that doesn't mean, come on, that we have to hang our hat on evolution. We as human beings, we evolve not from a monkey to a human, but we evolve as we age. We progress, we age, we get older. Our organs get a little bit weaker. Our body gets a little bit weaker. Our bones get a little bit weaker. Our eyesight gets a little bit more dim. Our hearing gets a little bit less dull, or gets a little bit more dull. It's called aging. Animals live and they die. We live and we die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Look, because if we go to the Bible and we're looking for really up-to-date information, because again, this guy is measuring the word, he's measuring the word up to the world and not the world up to the word. I don't measure the word up to the world. I don't look at the world for the standards of how I live. I look to the word on how I live, because the world is ever evolving and changing, and the culture comes and goes. Come on. If you don't think the culture comes and goes, look around. Styles come and go. Hairstyles come and go. Conversations come and go. What's popular comes and go. Look at housing designs come and go. Modern, contemporary, new age, this, that. And listen, the church is the worst. The church doesn't hold a standard to anything. They blow and they sway along with everything. It's cultural. You sound like you're fired up today. I am. Quote, I think the Bible is trying to say to us that the word isn't necessarily the source of the how. The Bible is the source of why we do exist. Why is there a world? What does it mean to be a human being in the world? And how do we live our lives in the best way possible? I think those are more of the questions the Bible is trying to get at. Quote, while the church has been completely shocked by the reactions to the message, Scott said he wants people to see the Bible in a fresh light. Here we go with this stuff. A fresh light, a new revelation, a new teaching. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I fear that the simplicity of the gospel will cause you to stray. Paul talked about it in the New Testament. He said there would come a time when the simplicity of the gospel, what's the simplicity of the gospel? Paul said, he said, I am determined to know nothing more than but Jesus Christ and him crucified. But you know what? The cross, the blood, the gospel, Jesus dying and rising again on the third day and giving us eternal life in him. It's not enough for the modern church today. That's not exciting. It doesn't get us going. It doesn't produce excitement. So we have got to come up with a new formula. We got to come up with something new. We got to come up with a new revelation. So this is why we've created all these new movements. Especially, don't even get me started on the prophetic movement of the church. We got people up today that prophesy everything under the wind, and they hit it one day, they miss it the next day, they hit it one day. It's like pulling a slot machine over there in Vegas, and sometimes they hit it, and sometimes they don't miss it, or sometimes they miss it. And yet, if you dare question anything that they prophesy or prophesy, whatever you want to call it, then you are labeled to be the hate monger, or you are the one causing trouble. But we got to have something new. We have something new. So, hey, we got to give the Bible a fresh light. Listen to this quote. I actually want to try to help people hear the story of the Bible. Hear the stories and letters and poems in a fresh way. Yeah, a progressive way. But a way that honors where that came from and the people that produced it. Oh, I ain't even got to the real heavy part, Rhett. Let me, we're almost there. Ready? And you, listen, none of that offended you. I guarantee you, if you actually believe what the Bible says, that this is really going to ruffle your feathers. Quote, he noted while arguing that while parts of the Bible can be considered the word of God, listen to this. I quote, while arguing that while parts of the Bible can be considered the word of God, here's what he said, not all of it is. I said, this pastor said that not all of the Bible is the word of God. A pastor said this. Quote, he pointed to the Old Testament prophets like Amos and Jeremiah, who would preface messages from God with, quote, the Lord came to Amos, or the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Quote, here's what the pastor said. Quote, there is stuff in the Bible that I think really goes against the character of God. Again, give me some more duct tape. Take my head, make it tight, because my head is going to explode. Again, there's stuff in the Bible that I think really goes against the character of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me slow that down. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is not separated from the Word. So if the Word says something and it's in the Bible, then it's of the God. See, now I got to read you something. And listen to this. Here's the whole thing right here. Watch this. You ready? He goes on to say, quote, there are genocides that have been divinely sanctioned in the Bible. People have used the text in the Bible, plain readings of the text at times to support white supremacy, to defend slavery, to defend segregation. He went on to say that saying the Bible is inerrant and infallible, it absolves us of our responsibility to do what our ancestors did, which is to wrestle, whatever that means, wrestle. I mean, you know, you guys, you need to just stop reading your Bible and just wrestle with it. Wrestle with it. Do a couple suplexes, some arm drags, and some body slams on your Bible and wake up and realize that not all of the Bible is the Word of God, and realize that you just got to stop believing what the Bible actually says, according to this pastor. Now I'm going to give you, this is what the Apostle Peter said about this kind of stuff right here. You ready? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What you going to do with that, Pastor? If you say Jeremiah and Amos spoke things that were not of God, then you just said that they were not agents, or they were not mouthpieces of God. What are you going to do with that? So we just going to pick and choose and rip out parts of the Bible that we are offended by and that we don't believe that were infallible and was of God? Because after all, Peter said that no scripture, no prophecy came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What are you going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? Come on, wake up. Listen, if you're in a room with somebody, you need to grab them by the shoulders, shake them a little bit, say, wake up. Wake up. I like what Shannon said right here on live. Get another pastor. I'd be running from that church. Paul told Timothy, he says, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, boastful, pride, arrogant. He talks about all this. And he says, they will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the very power thereof. And he said, from such men, run from them. Run. If you're part of a church, listen, let me make this real easy for you. If you're part of a church that claims to be a progressive church, you know what that means? It means it conforms to the world and to the culture of its day and does not hold fast to, come on, to the inherent, unmovable, immovable, unadulterated Word of God. If you're in a church that claims to be a progressive church, you need to get your stuff, you need to get your Bible, and you need to get up and you need to get out. Run. Listen, Peter went on to say, this is in 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 through 18, then I'm done. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? What are you going to do with that, Pastor? You're trying to hold on to something that's going to pass away, be burned up, and be done away with. But the Bible says heaven and earth is going to pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of the Word of God will pass away until all things be fulfilled. That even means stuff from Jeremiah and Amos, who you don't like. Oh, I'm fired up today, in case you couldn't tell. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Oh, do I got anybody on the program today that are excited about a new heaven and a new earth? Come on, come on. There won't be any more political divide. There won't be no more debauchery, no more lying, no more stealing, no more adultery, no more fornication, no more wickedness, no more abominations. Come on, no more racism, prejudicism. No more that goofiness. No more cancel culture. None of it. And Jesus will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whether you like it or whether you don't like it. He's not going to ask for your opinion. He's not going to ask to be voted in. He's going to come with a rod of iron and set up his kingdom. Come on, somebody. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, listen to this. Looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, and as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things. Listen to this. And which are some things hard to understand, which you need to underline this and highlight it, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Did you hear that? Untaught and unstable people are twisting the scriptures for their own destruction, like they do the rest of the scriptures. And that, my friend, is exactly what we're seeing on display right here, is somebody twisting and contorting and diluting scriptures, come on, for their own purpose. Verse 17, because listen, a progressive church is a church that doesn't offend anybody. It's a seeker-friendly, seeker-sensitive church. You can come as you are. Don't worry about getting offended. Don't worry about us preaching on sin, because we ain't going to touch it. Don't worry about us preaching on the cross, because you might be of a different faith and we're not going to offend you. Don't worry about us probably even preaching on the power of the Holy Ghost, because that makes people nervous. You don't have to worry about that. It's an unoffendable church where everybody can be happy. You can wear a smile. You can live your best life now. And you can and walk out and never be changed and transformed by his power. A form of godliness, but denying the power of the Holy Ghost that can change and transform you. That's a progressive church. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware. I said beware. Lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Listen to this. Being led away with the error of the wicked. Some of y'all, listen. If I'm telling you, if you are in a church like this that we just talked about today, you've got family members in a church like this, you got, somebody you know in a church like this, you need to tell them, beware lest you be led astray in error and wickedness. Listen what he says. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you say, what should I do, Brother Ricky? Here's what you should do. You need to get a Bible that is the, I'm not going to sit on here and tell you which listen, I'll tell you the translations that I personally use, but I'm not saying, you need to find here's the bottom line. You need to find a translation that is the closest to the original translation of the Bible. Of course, the New Testament was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And you may like it or may not. I'm not saying that King James was a godly person, because he was not. But the 1611 King James Bible is probably one of the closest of the original Greek and Hebrew out there. But I personally, I use the New King James or the King James most of the time. Every now and then I'll use the New Living Translation, but there's a lot of that in there that some of that stuff, I don't agree with the translations of it. But here's the bottom line. You need to get in the Word, be rooted and grounded in the Word. The Bible says, be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, that so that you're not blown by every wind of doctrine. We've got people getting blown by every wind of doctrine. Listen, it breaks my heart to even have to report this today, to even sit on this broadcast today and tell you that a pastor is getting up behind the pulpit who is leading people astray, telling them, I could not imagine standing before God on the day of judgment and telling God that his word was not enough. and that it was subject to change with culture, and that people should not really believe everything in the Bible. I could not, I would not be able to sleep at night if I got up and told people that. Because did you know the Bible says that we're all going to stand before him and give an account of every word, every idle word that we speak out of our mouth, we're going to give. And teachers, pastors are going to be held to even a higher severity of judgment based upon what they teach the people. So listen, I don't even really, this is my prayer today. We're going to close out today, but this is my prayer today. I pray today. Let's just pray today. I want you to, right where you're at, if you're listening to this, watching this, I want you to receive this prayer today. I feel led to pray over you today, and then we're going to close this. And I got a few announcements, and then we're going to close it out. And then we'll be back here on Friday with some prayer. We're going to do a prayer segment on Friday. That's what we've been trying to do every Friday. So let's pray real quick. Father, Lord, I pray for this pastor in Tennessee. Lord, I know, Lord, in my flesh, I can get real routed up, but Lord, it's just a righteous indignation, because my heart is grieved and it's vexed and it's broken. And if my heart's broken and I'm grieved over this, I couldn't imagine how the Holy Spirit feels and how you feel. So Lord, first and foremost, I pray for this pastor. I pray, Father, that he would have an encounter, an intervention of the Holy Spirit that would open his eyes and his understanding of his heart to get the revelation today that your word is not ever changing. Lord, you said in your word that you are the Lord God who changes not. You do not change your body. The word says that you esteem your word above your name. The word of the Lord says you esteem your word above your name. That's how high you regard the word of the Lord. And Lord, I just pray that, Father, he would repent of this and that he would get his heart right. And I pray for everyone in his congregation, those that the seed of this deception has been sown into their hearts. I pray that they would come to the knowledge of the truth and that their eyes of their understanding be opened and be enlightened to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That all scripture is given by inspiration of God and not just what we pick and choose. I pray that if there be anybody under the sound of my voice today, by podcast, by YouTube, by Facebook, and you are in any way, form, or fashion.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.